You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on www.simpleflight.net.
That's a good flight.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Eppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.
Well, folks, make sure your seat backs and tray tables are in the upright and locked position because we've just been cleared for takeoff. I'm Al Waterloo, one of your co-pilots tonight. And Mark, were we cleared for takeoff?
I think so. Our landing light switch is on, so it must mean we were cleared for takeoff.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's a nice feeling.
It is. You know what? Anytime I'm in an airplane is a nice feeling, whether it's cleared for takeoff or not. But it's more fun being up or going up than sitting on the ground waiting.
Yeah, that's true. I like that. I flew out to San Francisco the other week, and we had a two-hour ground delay. And as much as I love being on airplanes, it's a little brutal. But, you know, I don't know. There's something different about being in an airplane when you're on the ground and in the air.
Well, and especially it's on the departure end or the arrival end. When you've landed and now you see the gate, and they say, oh, we're just a little bit early. Our gate's not available, so we're going to sit here for the next 73 hours.
Yeah, you're in the penalty box.
The penalty box, indeed, and it feels like it.
Yeah.
And I want to say, bring a bus up, let us out into the bus, drive back. You get your airplane back when you can, but I'm here. I paid for the trip to here. Let me go home.
Man, you sound like a cranky passenger.
Well, and it brings out the best in it. I mean, just like our last week's show with Sir Fair. You know, we are all cranky, even though the demand and the need for travel is up. And
right.
I hope people have taken an opportunity to go listen to the archive. If they haven't already listened to the show, that show with Sir Fair was just great. I'm still pumped about it, and it's, you know, a week after.
It makes me feel like, you know, like it's that just after talking with Wade, it was the airline industry is ready for a revolution.
Well, I don't know if they're ready for it, but he is. I'm thinking through how I articulate this. I'd say the industry needs it. They may not be ready for it, or let me put it that the people that are in it aren't necessarily thinking about it, except for people like Wade. And they're going to change it because it needs to change. And,
right.
And to your point, I think what you are saying that we as passengers are ready for it.
Oh, absolutely. We as passengers, even the business aspect of it, it's a rough business, let's be honest. You know, I think that if there's a better way of doing things, which is more profitable and keeps people happy, then I think that, yeah, everybody's ready for it.
Well, and if you keep people happy, profits will go up. And I don't want to be naive. I know there's some tremendous costs with running an airline. It's very people and fuel intensive, and both of those things are very expensive. But, you know, there is a significant opportunity to improve customer service, to improve the experience, and I think profits will follow that.
Yeah, exactly. That's partly why we're here. We like to improve the customer service experience of aviation.
Well, and as we'll talk about in the show tonight, we were at an AOPA town hall meeting, and for those listeners that do date math, say, wait a minute, how can that be possible? The town hall meeting hasn't happened. We'll explain that in a second. But it is to the point where you know, there is a positive move afoot, and you know, it's we're in control, and we can make something happen.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're broadcasting live from the Signature FBO here at the Chicago Executive Airport, and you know, one of my favorite things is is watching the line guys work out there, and they provide some excellent customer service.
They do. And I'm matter of fact, we're watching right now dealing or working over a Lear 60, right?
Yeah, that is a Lear 60.
It's a beautiful one.
You can tell by the engines.
It's kind of like the Citation 10.
Yeah. Right?
Those engines just dwarf the rest of the airplane.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's going on with this Learjet. And I don't know if you can, if for those listeners out there, they can hear the little hum in the background, but they've got a GPU hooked up to the plane right now.
What's the difference between a GPU and an APU?
Well, it's an A and a G.
So what, five letters?
That's a Mark Eppner joke, yes.
No, it isn't. That's an Al Waterloo joke. I don't even want to be associated with that. No, I mean, between an auxiliary power unit and a generator, right?
Yeah, a GPU.
GPU.
It's rather than a generator power unit, it's a ground power unit.
Oh, ground power unit. Yeah. Well, so what? How? But APU is the same thing, auxiliary.
It's usually
on the ground.
But it's used on the ground, but it's an internal, you know, jet engine or generator in the airplane itself.
Ah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I'm afraid to any talk anymore on the radio because people say, gosh, Mark's been a pilot since the 70s. He must know everything. And then I say the stupidest things. They go, he doesn't even know that, the difference between APU and GPU.
Hey, remember that show back in October where we had Bob Schmelzer on?
Yep.
What was the theme of that?
The theme was, obviously the things that Bob does to make the industry special. His passion for aviation as a flight instructor, as a 777 captain.
Right.
I don't know what you're getting at, but with that, I'm going to turn it over to you.
The theme of that whole episode was a good pilot is always learning.
Right.
So
GPIAL.
Wow, I don't know how you can do that, but you know, I would probably stumble all over my words and
G-pile.
It's funny. I was actually stayed at a Hampton Inn earlier this week, and
HI Hampton Inn.
But then they had these stickers on the elevator doors, and so as the elevator door closes, it has, you know, just a little quirk about the little sentence about the hotel and a picture, and it said, "OMG T." TBISC.
SC?
Yeah. OMG TBISC.
Oh, my goodness, or whatever.
I don't know.
You're losing me. I need to write this down.
I do need to write it down. But I totally thought of you because you're the guy that takes a sentence and turns it into an acronym. And it said, oh, my goodness, this bed is so comfortable.
Yeah, and see, I would have gotten that because people will give it me those, and I can make up stuff too.
Right.
You know, like I said to you many times, I don't have a lot of skills, but there's some things that are totally worthless that I can do.
You do them well.
Do them well, yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's good. Hey, they're firing up the Learjet. The beacon's on, and you could hear the little drain on the
GPU. Did hear that. Did you read my blog about pilots are sensitive or whatever I called it? Pilots are sensitive types?
No, I didn't.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate the friendship.
You're welcome.
There it goes. I just see something coming out that back end right engine. Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So I won't go through the entire blog, but I was in a Piper Lance. This was in the 70s.
Nice.
I was sitting behind the pilot, my back to the pilot. You know, I had club seating, one of the first club seating ones. And kitty corner from me, facing forward in the far back, was a gentleman, E.K. Jones, legendary guy in Iowa City. E.K. Jones and his family ran the Iowa City Airport, and they were Piper sales folks, and I worked for them as a line boy while I was going to college. And all of a sudden, I heard just a slight decrease in power.
Yeah.
And I pivoted my head around to see what was going in front and then turned back, and E.K., you know, I could hear. Actually, it was funny. We didn't wear headsets back in the 70s, so he yelled over. Yeah, he said.
That's why you're always saying what?
What'd you say?
That's
So he said, I can tell you're a pilot. And I said, how? He said, nobody but a pilot would have heard that slight power change.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, and, you know, when my car is making noise, my family doesn't hear it. There's certain things I do that I notice that all other pilots that I hang with hear and feel the same thing. Yet with my family that isn't airplane attuned.
Right.
They don't. So there is something to how we hear and sense the environment around us.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely feel that the same way. When we were going to San Francisco, we were flying a 737. You know, you could tell when the door shuts. They shut the main cabin door because the cabin actually pressurizes like a tenth of an PSI or something like that. And it's funny because you could feel it in your ears and, you know, you could hear it. You know that, you know, what does that do? It conditions you to start powering off your cell phones because, you know that that annoying announcement is going to come in, you know, in a matter of 10 seconds. We've shut the main cabin door. All electronic devices must be turned
off. And I'm always sitting by the guy that feels like, well, that's for everybody but him.
But him, yeah.
Yeah. No, I just have another 15 minutes on this call and then I'll get off.
Yeah. Right?
No. I was about to tell him, you know, you need to get off now, and I'm talking about the airplane, not the phone call.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm very frustrated by that, but anyway, I digress.
Yeah. People are the center of the universe.
That's right. Well, it's the epicenter, Epner Center. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
So we should explain a little bit about my date math comment.
Right.
You know, so we had technical problems on the 17th of March. Which
was a leprechaun that really like derailed the whole thing.
It was, right? Green, rainbow, pot of gold, the whole thing was there. And you were in San Francisco.
Right.
And we did sort of kick off the show. We had all kinds of technical problems because of, well, various things, getting it started. And then you had to run because you were in the middle of still training your student who's going to take a check ride the next day. Goodbye,
yeah.
Lear 660.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So we ended up doing a short show, and it was a cluster, to say the least.
Yeah.
So what we've decided to do is not even play that 15, 20 minutes Hall of Shame type of material. And
right.
So we're going to record an abbreviated show. We're actually, the week past, Al's back in the studio, as am I, and we're going to post this as the 317 show. But just in case you start doing the date math and say, wait a minute, he wasn't even there for that, or
right.
This thing, their time, it hasn't happened. So we're a few days after that.
Yeah.
So we appreciate, we've decided quality is much more important than quantity tonight and every night.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to be back, too. It's nice, and we have all the equipment working. And you got a new microphone. It looks great, by the way.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's kind of empowering. I just hope it sounds good. But I spent some more money, and because people had said my microphone wasn't sounding the quality again, back to that issue. And so, you know, we go ahead and invest and make sure our listeners are happy. So, yeah, I'd be interested if you guys, after listening to this, send me a tweet and at M. Epner or just at hashtag Simple Flight. I'll pick it up.
Right.
And let me know what you think of the new microphone.
Absolutely. I think it sounds great. And while we're on the tweeting subject, you know, big help to us to help out the show is if you go to our Facebook page, simpleflight.net, and make sure that you like that and start following us on Twitter. That would be
yeah.
Be a great
so we have
deal.
A Facebook page. I didn't even know that. Simpleflight.net.
Yeah, we sure do.
All right.
You even like it.
Well, I like everything.
Exactly.
I'm so, a likable kind of guy.
Yeah, we always post things about the show and everything, upcoming guests, little videos and, you know, little pictures of flying as the week progresses.
Absolutely.
And it's nice. So anyway, so what did you do this week in aviation, Mr. Mark Epner?
What date? I'm going to have problems with the date now.
So, let's from now back to our last show, the Surf Air show.
Well, should we talk about the flyout?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's been actually a couple weeks and have done some decent flying, but we had on the 22nd, Saturday. That was yesterday. Because
right.
We're really doing two shows today, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the truth is out. So, yeah, we had a flyout in Rochelle, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
The airport is RPJ.
Right.
Romeo Papa Juliet. And the restaurant there is called the Sky Deck Bar and Grill. I'm still trying to figure out why a restaurant on an airport that serves pilots is so big with the bar part of it, but I just trust people do the right thing. Actually, it's owned by a skydiving company, and they, you know, have people come in for skydiving, and they're not normally open during the winter months or spring months at breakfast. But they heard we were going to come in with some other flying clubs. They opened up, and we ended up with, gosh, our own club was there, a Leading Edge Flying Club, leadingedgeflyingclub.com, with 20 people and 7 planes, I think.
Yeah, 20 people. LAFC
alone, not counting Baraboo Flying Club, Cap City Flyers from Madison, and Winnebago from Oshkosh. Oh, Stick and Rudder. I forgot about them in my little post. Stick and Rudder out of Waukegan, Illinois came.
Right.
A couple guys from Peoria that had no idea the restaurant wasn't open.
Right.
They figured, oh, I said, you're now a member of a club.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they opened up. They did a nice breakfast buffet for us. People like Kelsey and I didn't get any other names. I don't know. But
yeah.
Nice waitress that made sure that all of us got good food and good service, you know, waters and coffees and orange juices.
Right.
And it was just a great, great day.
It was. You know what? I'm really surprised every time we go to these restaurants and how receptive and excited they are to have us. You know, the last thing I would think of, like, is if I were to own a restaurant, it's like, oh, I got to get up Saturday morning and feed a whole bunch of, you know, pilots that probably won't even show up anyway. And, you know, and do that and bring the staff in, wait staff, cleaner, you know, all that. But, you know, every time we've gone on these multi-club flyouts and had a lot of people, the restaurant staff has just been great. And, yeah. You know, I feel like they're very much part of the airport and the aviation scene.
Exactly. And these people, I think because the management owns this skydiving club, which, by the way, yesterday was their first dive of the year.
Really?
Yeah. And it was cold. It was like 30 degrees. So if they let them out at 14,000 feet, it had to be like zero.
Yeah.
And I don't know how people jump out of a plane, let alone going into something to me that would be hypothermic. But anyway, they were great. Food was great. And hey, come on back. The restaurant's only been open since October, and I recommend it. I mean, I've been there for lunch once before. And if you're going by Rochelle, Illinois, just south of Rockford, I recommend you stop by and get a bite to eat at the Sky Deck Bar and Grill.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great place. And it's not, I would preface it saying that, hey, it's a modern, you know, chic, good menu. And it's got
chic.
A great,
yeah. I didn't expect to hear the word chic tonight.
Yeah,
I was wondering if I might hear plethora, but not chic.
Well, you just said plethora, so you just heard
I got it in. Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Congratulations. But no, it's not your typical airport cafe.
Oh, right. It's kind of like, it's not quite a Pilot Pete's at Schaumburg, 06 Charlie.
Yeah.
But it's a place nice enough that you'd want to bring someone to, and it's not like an airport dive that I love airport dives.
Absolutely.
Right? But it's a little bit on the upscale side and really great people. So
right.
Again, recommend it. RPJ Sky Deck Bar and Grill.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great place, and I'm looking forward to going there in the summer where they got these little garage door windows. You know, where they just open the whole restaurant up.
Garage door, their walls to the restaurant.
Yeah, walls to the restaurant. They just lift them up and just looks like a great place.
And they have a canopy and all the people go outside under the canopy, prepare for their dive,
right.
Go up in the airplane and jump out of airplanes.
Right.
It is great.
Yeah, the only downside is we'll have to have Shirley Temples.
Yes, or at least after somebody else is going to fly us home, maybe we could do something different.
True.
So you know what I did after we came? So we flew out there at 9 in the morning.
Right.
And then we flew back at about noon or 1.
Yeah.
So you know what I did when I got back?
I'm going to guess that you just went right back up in the air.
I grabbed another airplane and went flying. I can't believe how much. Don't tell me how much this is costing me. Of course, the flyout is next to nothing, right? For truly $100, you get a meal and you get to fly two ways. It's in a couple hours. I mean, it was a whole morning and $100 per person. Not a bad thing.
Yeah, not a bad thing at all. Yeah. It's the renaissance of the $100 hamburger. It's back.
It is back.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and it's very popular.
It's like the rebirth of Little Caesars.
You mean the pizza place?
Yeah.
Pizza. I remember that. We used to buy one and get another pizza free.
Yeah, exactly.
It's time ago.
It was, and that now it's back. It's you know, the $100 hamburger back. It's just is back just like Little Caesars.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
So what did you do this week? And you can't use the flyout because I just did.
Okay. All right. Well, I landed an airplane for the first time.
Stop the sentence right there. That's great.
No, seriously. You know what's funny is I've landed an airplane for the first time in about a month and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
That's scary because that's right, because you were gone for a couple weeks. You were sick for a week.
Yeah.
So how did it feel? Like your first solo?
Yeah, it was funny because here's the funny thing. You know, in the last month and a half, I have about 50 hours of flying logged, and it was the first time I landed an airplane.
What seat were you in, right or left?
I was actually in the front seat. Because I was in the
I was in the Skyer,
which is a tandem seat, and so the pilot sits in the front, and I was just I had a blast. I couldn't believe, you know, this is the first time I've, you know, I did the checklist and had flip flop the radios and manipulated the controls and landed. It was great.
And that was on the way back or on the way there?
It was on the way there.
Yeah, and actually, for people who want to see it, go to the AOPA Flying Club Network. I think, yeah, I posted a picture as you and your student were warming up to go home.
Yeah.
It's actually a little movie. You got the canopy open. It looks like people can't tell how big both of you are. But I thought, man, that looks so funny to see these big guys almost sitting on the concrete with the canopy open.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It gets hot in that thing. It's got like a greenhouse canopy, and you're wearing black, and there's two people in there. You don't have any airflow, and it just starts. And the sun's out. It really heats up really fast.
Yeah, but you understand that thing is pretty darn cold when you're flying in the middle of winter.
That's a different story. But once on the ramp, it's burning hot, and then when you're in the air, it's freezing cold.
So what you're saying, on average, it's great.
Yeah, if we take the sum between the two. But no, seriously. So I landed an airplane, and I had a pretty exciting trip out to San Francisco. It was a lot of fun. I got to hit up some new airports, some new terrain, and scenery that you don't get to see here in the Midwest, and had a student pass a check ride. But I think we're going to talk more about, we're actually going to have my student back on, in the first week.
So you don't want to talk about it too much tonight.
Yeah. I think we've got some really good stuff and, things like that. But, you know, I can't believe it. I nearly forgot. And I was just so excited that we're back here face-to-face in the studios. And, you did a pretty good job last week during the Surf Air Show of making me chuckle. I don't know if I laughed more at the joke, the pilot brain joke, or you're this day in aviation history.
Yeah. I've listened to it now a couple of times. And for people that aren't sure what we're talking about, go to the archive on simpleflight.net and listen to the March 10th show. And I thought I did a pretty good job with the Sunday night chuckle, but then I tried to do a news piece. And let's just say it dealt with the one of those planets at the end of the solar system. I'm not talking about Pluto. And had a trouble getting it out, especially with Al being sick. And we were talking medical things, and all of a sudden I'm talking about rings around a planet. But anyway, you have to go listen to it, and it's in the first half hour. To hear what we're talking about, but I absolutely lost it. Very unprofessional. Matter of fact, my wife said, "Don't do that again."
Did she listen to it?
Yeah,
did hear it. Oh,
she
man.
Did. And then I was talking to her about some things that I wanted to do on another show coming up, and I was laughing, and she said, "Don't do that again. Yeah, one's fine." So I thought it was. I mean, it was truly real, but I was at home as I was preparing something. I was laughing very hard. I even snorted again.
Wow.
That was this morning.
You know when you get Mark laughing is when he starts snorting. It's hilarious.
Oh, man, that was funny.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's nice to be back face-to-face here and all that. And, you know, I laugh pretty hard over Skype, but do you think you could make me laugh?
I hope so. You know, this one's a little bit, I have to confess, just because we're kind of combining a couple of things in one day, I'm going to have to go to my old repertoire and pull out a little Johnny joke, which a lot of us have grown up with. But we'll make an airplane story out of it by just telling him that little Johnny was going to be a pilot someday. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not an aviation joke. But so little Johnny's in school, of course.
Yeah.
And they're just starting to learn about math.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the things that pilots need to know about math.
Yep.
And so the teacher picks it on Johnny and says, "Okay, Johnny, you're in a field and there's four crows sitting on a fence."
Yeah.
Okay. And she says, "Okay." And there's a farmer there and he shoots one of the crows. "How many crows are left?" And he said, "None." She said, "What? None? No, Johnny, just listen a little bit careful. Okay. Just listen very carefully. There's four crows on the fence and farmer shoots one of them. So how many are left?" He said, "None." She has a puzzled look and says, "Well, wait a minute. Tell me, why do you say none?" He says, "Well, if he shoots one of them, the other three get scared and fly away." And she said, oh, okay, that's not the right answer I was looking for, but I like the way you think.
It's very practical.
Yeah. So then Johnny says, teacher, I have a question for you. And she says, tell me about it. Okay, I'm happy to answer a question for you. And he says, there are three women in an ice cream parlor.
Yeah.
One is licking the ice cream, one is biting the ice cream, and one is sucking her ice cream cone. Which one is married? And she said, well, the one sucking the cone. And he said, no, it's the one with the wedding ring, but I like the way you think.
You could turn that one into a suck, squeeze, bang, blow, and you know, into a lesson about reciprocating actions.
I think I will. Yeah, so that's probably a little unlike people have heard me say on the show before, but I thought it was cute and would make people laugh. So yeah. Our Sunday night chuckle.
The Sunday night chuckle. Matt
Tell me
May.
What you think about it. Hashtag SNC.
Yeah, hashtag SNC.
Sunday night chuckle. There's my acronym again. And let me know if you like that joke or not.
Yeah.
You know what? I have to say, too, people are starting to send me jokes. And I'm getting.
That's cool.
Yeah. Hey, we might do this. Some of them are email. And my email, I'll put it out there. As in Mark Eppner, ME02@AOL.com. And so I appreciate we've gotten suggestions on that and other things. So keep those cards and letters coming in.
Keep them coming. It's fun getting fan mail.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Or jokes or, you know, it's funny. I can't believe we got a great compliment from a gentleman out in New Jersey. He lives near the Trenton area. And, you know, he sent this email. And this isn't the first time somebody said this. But I think it's like the ultimate compliment. And he says, thank you. Yeah, I think he drives up to New York City for every day for work and all that. And he says, thank you for putting on a great show and having a show that's not just 20 minutes, it's 2 hours, because that's the length of his commute, I believe. And he says, it really helps with my road rage.
Good. So we're contributing to safer roads.
Yeah.
And safer skies.
Yeah, that's exactly. Exactly. You know, more calm motorists on the road, you know, and that's. When we first started the show, we got that from a couple people last year. I don't know. I think that's a pretty. How many people can say that we help calm their road rage?
Well, and I think the thing that I'm learning is while we're very appreciative of our live listeners, we have a much larger commuter base, if you will, that listen to it as a podcast or in its archive, which we don't care. As long as you listen and you like it, we're happy.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how many people have told me they use us to get to work.
Right, right.
On Monday morning. And when we're late posting it, you know, let's say it doesn't get up right away, people, where is it? You know, we hear from them almost like complaints. I didn't have my fix today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'll preface that with, that's Al's fault when that happens.
We share the credit, we share the blame.
But anyway, we have I wanted to play a little weather report. You know, as we're sitting here at the Chicago Executive Airport, you know, as much as I love this town, you know, right about now, like late March, when they're predicting that like last snowfall, and you know, I'm looking at the skies and it's like kind of a low broken layer, and it's literally move, you know, it's hauling.
Yeah, you think that's broken? I'd call that overcast, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never known broken to be 100% coverage.
I guess I need to get my eyes fixed.
I guess so.
Maybe you need to get yours. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's coming back from San Francisco. This is like the biggest like kick below the belt. We drove, the day of the check ride. It was about 70 degrees. It was beautiful, calm winds and things like that. We're on the plane. It's 9 in the morning. I'm bummed that I'm leaving San Francisco. And, you know how they give, like, the pre-departure announcements, the cockpit does. And they say, oh, you know, when we arrive in Chicago, it's right now gusting winds to 35 miles out of the south, or miles an hour out of the south, and temperature currently 19 degrees. It's just like, come on, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I want to reminisce for a couple reasons. On one, the weather. Two, this is the airport where my student did his check right out of. And three, this is this airport that Mr. Craig Fuller did his initial private pilot check right out of.
Wow. Let's take a listen.
Yeah. So this airport, this particular airport, was on the tower closure list. And I'm glad to know they
have made it.
3005.
Let's see.
Concord, Cannon Field.
Concord.
Automated weather observation, 2053, Zulu. Wind 310 at 09. Visibility 10. Sky condition clear. Temperature 19 Celsius.
Oh my God!
2.05 Celsius. Altimeter 3005.
Yeah. So I mean, think about that. Coming from weather like that, nearly calm winds, clear skies, temperature 19. Oh man! And then coming back to something like this, it's just like. Maybe we need to take this show to San Francisco and base it out of there or something like
or
that.
Or San Diego or a lot of different places. Yeah, because this is 2 weeks in a row that the Celsius temperature equals the Fahrenheit temperature in Chicago.
Yes.
Right? We're actually a little bit close. We're in the 30s. I think we're 33, 32 right now. But, you know, it's felt like 19.
Yeah, seriously. You know, and it's... I'm just ready. I'm ready for these clouds to go away and, you know, start to smell a little baseball in the air and jet.
Yeah. Well, they're coming whether the weather is ready or not. Baseball is here just another week or two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But that was one good thing. It was cold yesterday for the flyout, but it was bright sunshine, clear. It was nuts in terms of ATC. I haven't heard it that busy here in a year.
Yeah. It was nice. It was actually really nice to get back and hear. You know, it solidified in my mind that air traffic control towers are pretty,
yep,
pretty you know, necessary things.
Well, let me ask you this though,
yeah.
And this is not to pick on anyone, and I hope it doesn't come across, but we called in probably about 15, 14 miles northwest.
Yeah,
they didn't hear us. You know, they was talking to a lot of people, so we called again. It was pretty quick thereafter, and they said, you know, call number. Call sign ident.
Yeah.
And then we didn't hear from them.
Yeah.
So then we called them again. No response. Called them again. They said, expect 3-4.
Yeah.
Notify 3 miles northwest for 3-4. Okay,
yeah,
we'll do that. And we called 3 miles. They didn't say anything to us. I mean, they were talking. It wasn't like it was quiet and we weren't being heard. They were just really busy. 2 miles didn't do anything. Entered a downwind. As we hit the beam point, we announced where we were, and finally they gave us clear to land. A little frustrated in their voice that we were calling so much, but there was a lot of planes around, and we made the announcement at 3, but never got any kind of acknowledgement, and the next two calls weren't acknowledged, and then we finally were when we were, you know, in our descent.
Right.
So have you ever had that happen? I mean, to me, that was just even they say stand by.
Right.
But they were just totally ignoring us, and we knew there were other planes there, and we weren't just going to do a standard pattern.
Right. Well, you know what? Actually, that happened to me yesterday, actually, coming into this very airport.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my student got all nervous about, you know, saying, hey, you know, they didn't call us back. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, we have permission to get in, you know, come in. They've acknowledged us.
Yep.
We can get into the Delta. Let's just, you know, they told us what to do. Let's just start doing it. And then, you know, they'll keep track of us. And, you know, sure enough, we came in, we just entered the downwind just like they said. And on final, they gave us our landing clearance. You know, it's like, you know, they were going to call out other. It felt like they wanted to, that they should be talking to us more. Let me put it that way.
I agree.
And, but, you know, they were really busy and, you know, they gave us instructions. They know where we're coming. They know who we are. They know where we are on the radar screen and all that. And, it turned out to be a non-event. I think it was almost even helpful to not, you know, not try to bother them, you know, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, it makes perfect sense, and I hear you. I guess I think what you just said resonates with me, that I was expecting to hear back from them,
right.
Not necessarily at the reporting, but when now we've hit the abeam, we're starting our descent, a lot of planes coming in, just to even tell us we're number 17 or number one.
Right.
We had no, but it's your point. I mean, we had been cleared into the Delta by establishing radio contact.
Right.
They gave us our N number and all that and gave a reporting. We made our point. So I wasn't thinking like we did something wrong, but that not hearing created a little level of anxiety that I'm not used to hearing.
Right, right. Right. You know, and it's funny because as we were going in to Rochelle, and I'm guessing this is your flight back from Rochelle.
Correct.
Yeah, so going into Rochelle, you know, it's a non-towered airport, so you're used to making, these non-radio, non-towered airport calls of, I'm on the downwind, I'm on the base, I'm turning final,
yep.
I'm touchdown, I cleared the runway. You know, and it's interesting because it kind of, you don't need to do that here at a control at a towered airport. Yeah, I know I kind of felt the same way a little bit, you know, where they should be, it feels like they should be talking to you more, but, you know, they're very task saturated, so it's best to let them figure out what they need to do. They gave us instructions, and the best thing that we can do is comply.
Yeah, and I think even though it may have crowded the pilot in command at the time did the right thing in terms of announcing downwind. We would have announced base two.
Yeah.
Again, I just want to know what position we were. I didn't need to hear anything else, that just an acknowledgement that you're part of this mess that's right. out here and you're number whatever.
Right. And I don't think that, you know, not talking to or talking to them was the wrong thing either. You know, it's you know, it's a personal preference thing.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I have to admit, and again, I was just passenger at this point, but every time we announced, I felt comfortable. If not for the control tower, I wanted the other planes in the pattern to know where we were.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to me, and almost right or wrong, I felt like, oh, good, at least we're acting as if it was non-towered.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So people know where we are. We're not going to surprise anybody.
Right, absolutely. Well, if you guys out there listening to us think that we're right or wrong, let us know. Hashtag a tweet with Simple Flight, and let us know if you agree with us. Or disagree, and why? I think that's I'm kind of curious to hear what everybody's thoughts on that are, because there's really it's a pilot in command issue and a comfort level thing. So let us know. I'd be curious to hear that. So don't forget, hashtag us tweet with Simple Flight.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was kind of interesting as we were out. I was out in San Francisco. We were at the Concorde Airport taking my student was taking his check ride and all that. So they had this viewing area that I think the county sponsored. There was a county run airport. They had a viewing area with like bleacher bands or grandstands, like you'd see at a little league field, and you know, a couple like toys for kids and stuff like that. But they had a speaker, you know, coming over the tower and everything like that. Whoa, I hear a song. It's that sounds like a full of Frank Sinatra.
I have my cell phone. I have the Iowa fight song. My alma mater is for most of my calls. But if a pilot is calling me, it's Frank Sinatra, come fly with me. And so I know that's, it's funny. I'll always pick up the ones, except when I'm on a radio show. Sorry, that was supposed to be silent.
So. Yeah.
But it's all right. Hey, as long as it's aviation related, we can have it in the show.
Yeah, exactly. So going back to the Concorde airport with this viewing area, they had a live feed with the tower, you know, playing over a little loudspeaker.
Right.
And it was cool because this viewing area was at the base of the tower. And the tower wasn't like one of these massive ones where you look up and you know, they got the shades down and you can't see in.
Right.
So it was just like a little glass box, you know, it's like a little square, and they had the glass box and you could look up and see the guys talking.
Kind of like Waukesha.
Yeah, just like Waukesha.
Uniform Echo Sierra.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a tower like that. You could see them talking and looking down at us, and you looked back at them, and you know, they're clearing all these airplanes to land, and it was fun actually watching. It was the first time you could actually watch all the airplanes in the pattern. They had two parallel runways,
right?
And you know, it was really busy. You know, there was about five people in the pattern on one. They had airplanes like, you know, they even had a G450 come in and land while that people were doing touch and goes and stuff like that. This little airport is great, and it was cool to watch the guy that was controlling all of this. And see, you know, look up in the tower and see the guy, you know, like talk to everybody. You can hear him, and then see everybody in this, you know, in the pattern and, you know, in the airspace comply with his instructions. It was a really cool feeling, and I thought it was nice that the Concorde Airport Authority had made this little viewing area and all that. And
all of these airports do that, I agree. And, you know, I used to be a resident in St. Louis in the 80s, and or part of the 80s.
It sounds like a good time.
Oh, it was a great time because I used to go over to Lambert.
Yeah.
And I'd sit in this parking lot. And they didn't have, in the beginning, they didn't have a speaker, but they eventually put one out so you could listen to it. It was just off of 1-2 right and left.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I started going around to different airports, and I won't say a lot, but many airports do that. And did you know we do it here?
Yeah, we do.
And I go over there, and sometimes I find people at the observation area, and they haven't pushed the button.
Yeah.
Little kids, I always go over and push it for them.
Yeah.
Say, listen.
Yeah, listen to it.
Listen, it's, kid.
It's, yeah. Hey, pal, push the button.
You can't be here unless you push the button. That would be PTB.
Yeah, there you go again.
MA, Mr. Acronym.
Yeah. I can't believe it. You know, I don't have the brain power to, like,
BP.
Think that. I don't. Yeah.
Okay,
like
I'll stop.
The oil company, but that, whatever. Aeroshell.
British Petroleum.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So anyway.
So we had it's nice how airports do that, but there's something special about this the Concorde Airport. Just, you know, the location where the tower was at, you could look up, see the guys, you know, and then see all the planes of the pattern. It was a very active airport, you know, and they were controlling all things from 152s in the pattern all the way to G450s. It was pretty cool.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. But, you know, I said that I had a little nostalgia for the Concorde Airport just because of the weather. My, you know, student was there, but we also Craig Fuller took his private pilot check right there.
That was the soon-to-be former president of AOPA.
Soon-to-be former president of the AOPA. Exactly. And, you know, it was cool because we went, you and I and a couple others from our flying club, went to the AOPA town hall meeting here in Chicago. We actually had a neat opportunity to have dinner with Craig, sit down with him,
yep,
and talk to him. And I don't know, what was your impression about all that?
Well, you know, it was interesting and surprising. First of all, it was a small group that got together with Craig and Adam Smith and their team, Chris Lawler and such, before the town hall meeting. And I didn't realize how intimate that was going to be. There
right.
was, what, 20 people, 25 people,
right.
knowing that was going to be a few hundred people with him in just an hour and a half after that.
Exactly.
And we got to sit actually at the same table as Craig for dinner and then talk to him a little bit more at the town hall meeting, just a little bit. And to hear him and to converse with him, I realized how little I knew of him.
Right.
And shame on me for forming an opinion. I was a big fan of Phil Boyer when he was the president of AOPA, and Phil had a charisma and reached out to the GA population.
Right.
And he was from Chicago, which helped, you know, my hometown as well. And Craig, to me, has been this figurehead, you know, and I guess doing a great job, but I'd never felt the connection to him that I felt to Phil. And Phil was there for a lot longer, of course.
Right.
But then meeting Craig, I said, man, that was an injustice,
yeah,
because he's done a lot for us and found out that he's a GA pilot at heart.
Right.
Right. He is one of us.
Right.
And I can see the frustration in dealing, you know, with today's political system. Even all of us are not immune or untouched from the frustrations, whether it has anything to do with aviation or not.
Right.
Right. Just the dysfunctional thing of politics today. And so I see he is wrapped up in that. We just didn't see it. So I came away from the meeting, a long answer to a short question, that I've never gave this guy a fair break. And, you know, I think there's some things that he does that AOPA is going to miss.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that statement. I don't think I really knew much about him. I had met Phil Boyer, and, you know, with that, along with that charisma and that, you know, he treated you like an individual. And I was actually in Phil Boyer's office at the AOPA.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Said, you know, and he asked where I went to school, and he was like, oh, I went to University of Illinois. And he said, hey, next time you're down there, my wife needs a new CAMS cup. And I was just like, you know, how the guy seemed to have something for everybody in that regard. And Craig, you know, Craig didn't, you know, just from being an observer from, you know, magazine reader and, you know, things like that. It just didn't seem like, you know, he had that individual, like, touch to everybody. But after we sat down, you know, to your credit, Mark, you know, I felt very, you know, like, you know, very ignorant getting to know, you know, knowing as little as I did about him. And I think he really is an engine behind the AOPA of, the core value. The AOPA was founded to be an advocacy.
Well, yep. There's three legs to the stool, as he said, but yeah,
right.
Advocacy is certainly a very important one.
Very important one. It's one of the founding ones of that. and the founding principles behind the AOPA, and the advocacy on Capitol Hill that, you know, trying to support aviation. He has got a resume that really, you know, that really supports and gives him a lot of credit for knowing how to navigate that scene. And you know, I'm a little disappointed that, you know, he's leaving, because he has that insider knowledge. He has the know-how to navigate that. He flies, what did he say, 400 hours a year?
Something like that. That's, yeah, it was a jealousy enticing amount. Not
yeah,
enticing,
yeah,
but
exactly.
You know what I mean?
You know,
yeah, I thought, oh my God, he gets to fly that much? How
yeah,
cool.
He gets to fly that much, and, you know, he seemed very humble and, you know, knew what he's, you know, he seemed as a well-informed pilot. And 400 hours a year, that's a lot of hours. That's like an airline pilot that sits on reserve. That's the same amount of hours.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And I don't think that counts the time where he's not behind, you know, because he's sitting on their citation.
Right.
Which is a beautiful airplane, by the way.
Right. I like how he said that, hey, it's your airplane. You know, yeah. When we go, I'm like, yes, sort of. You
yeah.
know?
I didn't hear him say that. Otherwise, I would have said, could I take it for a spin?
Yeah, exactly.
Not literally a spin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think that's approved.
A trip around the patch.
There we go.
But yeah. So anyway, it was really neat to get to know him. On that level, and you know, I do feel a little bad that, you know, that he is leaving, because he does have, you know, the power and the, you know, I guess the advocacy engine behind him to really support the core of what the AOPA was founded for.
Right.
And on top of being a pilot, and you know, staying current and up with all these issues and things like that. The one thing, though, so that was neat when we were in this, when we had dinner with him, and to learn that about him. But when the meeting broke and we went into more of the general town hall meeting, where it was serving the Chicago land pilots and things like that, there are a couple takeaways from that, you know, from this presentation. It was about an hour long, I would say, maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah, a little bit longer. We started, well, whatever. It was about that time.
Yeah, about an hour and a half. Let's say an hour and a half, where he went up there and kind of gave like the state of the industry, or where things are at or perceived to be at. And, you know, there was a Adam Smith had went up there, and another gentleman, the Great Lakes regional manager, he went up there and gave a little talk. And it was interesting. I felt like I was watching the news. it was rather depressing hearing all that, and I didn't think that was appropriate. You know, obviously you do want to, you know, set this, you know, to be frank about what's going on about there, but I think there were a lot of the tone of the whole meeting was fairly negative.
Well, I think there is a negative or maybe pessimistic air about everything that's going on. Matter of fact, this was at the same time we just got the day before the reports on the tower
right.
closings for the sequester.
Right.
So I think that was probably in the back of everyone's mind. He knew it was coming. He announced that it was coming the next day. And
right.
So yeah, we could say, hey, you're a leader, you need to hide that. But I think, you know, it felt like a blow to everyone, but I don't disagree. And it wasn't helped by the audience of the few hundred people then that got out there to listen to town hall, because it's kind of like we're the victim. And,
yeah,
you know, and we've heard that for years. It's not just Craig Fuller.
Right.
So while I agree with you, I'd say there is this other side of it that we're kind of our own worst enemy. And you and I have talked about that before.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that the tone, it could have been a little bit different, this whole meeting. You know, I think that they controlled the maybe it was a business tactic, you know, I'm guessing that it was, just to solidify, you know, if you feel this way and you're not an AOPA member, you need to join immediately, because AOPA will, you know, has the power to solve this, which I think that they do have some power. But, you know, it's aviation doesn't really need negativity. It needs to be real with itself, but I don't think it needs to be negative. And, you know, just hearing all these words of, oh, we lost another battle. We lost this. You know, it's like it's a war, and we just keep losing. That's kind of how I felt. We just kept losing and stuff like that.
Yeah. And, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And all that. So it was just a little weird.
Yeah. And I think you just kind of reminded me of something, too. Maybe it's a business strategy. There's something to be said – of bringing a group together, becoming a community around a common enemy.
Right.
And so some of this may be to make the FAA, the government, the White House, Congress, whatever, you know, politics in general as the enemy. Sorry, my microphone. That is all about that. You know, that if he can get us to rally behind hating one type,
right?
You know, then maybe if they'll make more money. I don't know if it was that. I shouldn't say devious, but if there was that much of an ulterior motive, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's. I think that everybody has a self interest in one in something like this, but they. You know, it's also. The AOPA is doing some really cool things and great things, and aviation is doing great things, as you and I have discovered through doing the show, that there is a lot of positive outlook on this stuff, and you know, I just felt that was sorely missed, or that a little bit of a positive attitude was severely lacking.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know what, I think what I'm hearing here is that we, you and I, let alone the entire aviation community, needs to have this gray or this line, a fine line that we walk.
Right.
Right? Because it's easy to go to one side and be pessimistic, and then we can also stick our head in the sand and say, everything's great. Isn't it good to be optimistic and positive? And meanwhile, right, it's falling down around us.
Right.
And so maybe what we're saying is those guys are too much on the negative. Maybe we're too much on the positive. It's hard to say that, but I don't want to be naive and let people take away our right to fly and do right, all those things and watch us just idly staying by saying, isn't life wonderful?
Right. Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. I don't think we should, you know, be blinded by happiness and things like that. But, you know, we want to be real. And I think that, you know, you and I are very real. You know, we know that these issues exist.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to, you know, and I think that's, in a way, we want to bring up the idea of, you know, maybe by creating value, the people that we have on our show create value for aviation, and maybe that value will shine to these decision makers at some point, and really,
well, we got to force, you know, that. Show, I mean, decision makers aren't just going to listen to Simple Flight.
No. You know, it's a collective voice. It's a yes, voice much greater than us, the AOPA. It's every pilot, everything out there. And if we could, agreed, make it better, you know, then we can show that there's a lot of value in here. But you know, one thing that was pretty interesting is that, you know, through Craig Fuller's, you know, address to everybody, you know, he has a lot of experience dealing with politicking and things like that. And
he's connected.
Oh, he's very connected. And well, the interesting thing is, he said that, you know, politicians are always going to go after people, the oil companies, and people, you know, private
rich people with the airplanes.
Rich people with airplanes, because that's how you're going to hurt them, you know, and get ways to raise money for political campaigns.
Yeah. And I don't want to get too much in politics. The Sunday night is not the time to remind people what's going on out east and throughout our country. But, when I hear Adam Smith talk about $300 to in excess fees
to
just go
to
from
take off and
land at a couple airports and then $15 a gallon to put fuel in,
ugh,
you know, that. I don't know about you, but I won't be flying too many SR-22s at that point.
Yeah, right.
If let alone a Piper Cub,
right,
or anything like that. You know, I just it scares me. I don't want that to happen, not only in our lifetime, but any lifetime.
Right. Exactly. Well, here's a question for the listeners, and this may warrant a tweet, or if you can't get your answer or thoughts in a 140 character tweet, an email will suffice. You can email Mark at me02@AOL.com or myself at Al at awaterloo@gmail.com and give us your thoughts on how we can make this better, or how we can maybe, you know, tackle the politics.
Is there a comment page too at simpleflight.net?
Yeah, and there is a, if you go to the bottom of any web page on the website, simpleflight.net, there's a contact entry form, and feel free to send a note that way as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess the bottom line there, I want to regenerate the positive energy here. It was good to be able not only to have dinner or let's call it appetizers with with Craig and Adam and Chris and all before, but also after we went to a little restaurant.
Yeah.
And there's some pretty neat things coming from them. Adam had some conversation with me about some neat things that AOPA is going to be doing under his leadership, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's going to be really exciting to watch all this stuff happen, and I think that I feel like a genuine relationship between other pilots and other pilots, and other pilots in the AOPA.
Did you just say other pilots three times in a row?
Yeah, I did. So other pilots and other pilots, period. Mm. Other pilots and the AOPA, period. And the AOPA to other pilots.
Yeah.
So, keep track of that. Yeah, make a what?
That's just OP, 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 OP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then you have, I feel that there's a vested interest. I felt like there was a lot of energy in that room at the town hall, and people want to make things better.
Yep.
And it's really exciting to be a part of that, and something that we're going to overcome together. It's going to be pretty cool.
Very cool. Very cool. And it's going to be fun. It's just not, just like flying, it's not just the destination, it's the journey too.
Right.
Just things like our fly out yesterday to be around, 50, whatever, my best buddies and new waitress buddies and skydiving buddies. It made for a special day, and that's what life's all about.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I feel excited. Like a wax poetic.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You are being wax poetic.
Oh, no. This is supposed
to
be
getting all
fun.
Emotional.
I know. Excuse me while I wipe this
if
tear.
If everybody thinks Mark is emotional, send a tweet and let him know. Hashtag Simple Flight. That'd be great.
I told you, pilots are sensitive types. By the way, if anyone wants to read that blog, and I rarely anymore write blogs. I need to do more. But at leadingedgeflyingclub.com, there's a blog piece in there, and under Passion of Flight, I've written some, and you'll get some insight as to the way I think about aviation, which, guess what? It's no different than anybody else.
Great. At least it's maintaining its consistency. That's great.
That's that thing, one of those things that we share.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, why not? But anyway, we had, can you believe it? We've gone on and on.
How long have we been talking?
We've been talking about an hour.
Oh, my goodness. And this is going to be an abbreviated show tonight, right?
It is.
Yeah, we apologize for that. But again, it's quality, not quantity.
Exactly.
And you'll have to accept that we accept this was quality. It certainly was compared to what would have gone up if we used last week's
show. You know what was funny? So another reason why we had to use Concorde as our ATIS weather report airport is because you and I did the March 17th show via phone. I called in. I was walking around, wandering around the ramp on the Concorde Airport, trying to do some troubleshooting before the show. We went live. We went live about five times. We think we finally got it.
We're going to have to figure it out, because the only thing that's different was the PC that supports it, which I thought my PC was a lot better than yours, but it certainly... Well, before we go tonight, I want to figure out why this PC wasn't putting out live. We eventually got it.
Yeah, we did.
And we got it. So, yeah, so I'll turn it back to you, and because I'm not sure if there's another topic here, or we're gonna ready for tonight's real show.
Yeah, tonight's real show. So it's something to get excited about. We've got John and Martha King going to be talking with us, and we're gonna have. I'm really excited to talk to them. They seem really excited to talk to us, which is unbelievable.
And that's because they don't know us.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I thought you were somebody else.
Yeah. But no, it's really neat, and they use the word fun a lot, which I think is great.
I should hold off, but just say in my prep for the interview, and actually interview is the wrong word, our conversation with John and Martha.
Yeah.
I became more and more impressed. Sometimes they're as many icons are. They can become, I hate to say, the butt of jokes, but you make fun of the people that you know, and
right.
It's kind of those unattainable. But what a great story! What great people! What wonderful accomplishments! And I'm a customer.
Yeah,
I have my what is it? RVSM. RVSM.
Yeah.
Endorsement from them. I got my instrument from them. I'm doing my commercial through them. Because I really enjoy John's humor, I hate to admit it, but it really makes me smile, and I enjoy going through this stuff with him, and of course Martha as well.
Exactly. Well, it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. A couple, if we forecast out a little bit, we've got some good shows coming up. We're going to have Mr. Jacob Eiding on the show again. He was my student out in San Francisco, and
Young man that owns an airplane. What a dream.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got, we learned a lot on how to, bring some tips and tricks on how to do an instrument rating very efficiently and, real live experience, get some good experience and do it quickly. I think that's a recurring theme amongst students. I want to get it done in a reasonable amount of time.
Right. And I don't know if we've arranged the show, but we're going to be talking to someone that, just kind of like the Wright brothers, and we'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah.
The Wright brothers, the thing that they announced that maybe someone else beat them to it.
Yeah.
There may be someone people are going to enjoy listening to that maybe did something that Amelia Earhart didn't do.
Woo!
I'm trying to be a teaser on that. But there are some really great shows coming up, and we're excited not only to bring them to you, but I'm just excited to have the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we have a couple other cool bloggers, CFIs, coming on the show. And I got the confirmation that we're going to have the CEO of Air Choice One Airlines on the show.
So after our great CEO with Surf Airlines, now we're going to have Air One.
Yeah, Air Choice One.
Air Choice One.
Yeah, exactly. They do something a little bit different than Surf Air, which is kind of neat.
So, again, to our point, so much is going on.
Yeah.
It recognizes where there are opportunities, right? Problems and opportunities are sometimes synonymous.
Exactly. They really are.
They are. And so I get excited because people say, hey, there's a better way to accomplish what we need to have accomplished, and they're talking to us first.
Yeah,
it's awesome. I don't know about first, but they're talking to us.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's gonna be a great upcoming couple of weeks. John and Martha King, don't miss that show.
The 23rd Sunday, 23rd. 8 p.m. Central Time for 2 hours live, and then very quickly up as the archive. Like when we go ahead and quell all that road rage on Monday through Friday listening to us.
Exactly. I'm going to have to start listening to us to calm my road rage.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, right. But anyway, do us a favor. Be sure to check out simpleflight.net. You can see us on our social media outlets. Make sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. That's a big help to us. And tell your friends.
Please. So until next week, which of course... this is date thing. I'm so glad we're going to be done and we'll be caught up after this. But on the 23rd, is 23rd, is it 24th? Sunday the 24th, 8 p.m. with Martha. But I hope all of you guys have safe travels this week. You're able to do something with aviation, get up in the air. And when you're up there, I hope you're having tailwinds.
And very sunny blue skies.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Eppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.